The Sweeney year-end marathon is on. No matter where you leased your GM vehicle, we accept all Buick, Cadillac, Chevrolet, and GMC returns.
Now it's even better. If we buy your car, we'll cut you a check for $2,000.
$2,000 whether you purchased it from Sweeney or not.
Plus, we'll waive your disposition fees.
Text or call 330-SWEENEY or click SweeneyCars.com.
Sweeney Chevrolet Buick GMC on Market Street in Boardman.
What's up, guys? This is Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. Today is Tuesday, January 4th, 2022, and this show is going to be all about complaining about the 2021 Cleveland Browns. Coming off a great season last year, expectations are really a hell of a thing. The Browns, we were thrilled last year having a great season, won a lot of close games, and then the bar is raised. Expectations are raised. We go from, two decades of losing to having one of the best rosters in the NFL, winning a playoff game against your biggest rival in their home stadium last year, coming very close to the defending back-to-back AFC champions. And and then this season you come out of the gates, you're 3-1, and then the season is basically a miss from there. So we're going to complain about it. The Browns, we're going to be realistic about it, but the Browns get just absolutely beat up last night in an ugly, ugly game. They lose to Big Ben in his final game in Pittsburgh. And the Steelers, very fitting to Big Ben, an Ohio kid, Ohio guy born in Findlay, Ohio, goes to Miami University. Browns pass on him in the draft. I think he went 7th overall to the Steelers. Went 11th overall to the Steelers. The Browns had the 7th pick. They took Kellen Winslow Jr. They actually had the 8th pick in that draft, traded up one spot to get Kellen Winslow from Detroit. And just a frustrating scenario, Do I like Big Ben? No. Do I respect him? Yes, for what he's done in his career. And, I wanted to send him out with a loss as much as anybody last night, but it is what it is. So we move on. Now, the Browns were eliminated on Sunday afternoon, probably about 4:05 Eastern time. Not officially, but once the Bengals beat the Chiefs, we knew it was pretty much over. The Chiefs, I'm not going to get into what Andy Reid or what Zach Taylor were thinking. Both coaches there, I think, made a lot of mistakes. But we're going to get into our own coach and what was he thinking last night. The game plan last night was atrocious. I don't know what was happening. And I am a huge fan of Kevin Stefanski. But I think his game plan last night was absolutely indefensible. I don't know what was going on with his thinking. The Steelers are the worst team in the NFL against the run. Nick Chubb hardly went on the field. And, I know later on they said he had, something with his ribs or something. But, then why is he even playing at all? So you have D'Ernest Johnson that can run the ball. I know Kareem Hunt was out, but you left Baker Mayfield back there to get hit, to throw picks, to look awful with, Jed Wills, who has not looked good this year, and James Hudson playing right tackle for, subbing in for the best right tackle in all of football in Jack Conklin. And then, you put James Hudson out there, who probably shouldn't even be on the roster the way he has played. So just an all-around bad, bad game. And, with all that said, it was still fairly close. It was just such a frustrating night. I know this helps draft position and, depending on if the Browns finish 3rd or 4th, looks like it's going to be 4th. They're going to get that 4th place schedule. Yes, for next year, that's nice. But I am so sick of losing. It's a loser mentality to say, we want to lose these games, not against the Steelers. I'm sorry. you know, there is absolutely no reason why we should want to lose a game in Pittsburgh. So, you know, I don't care what the scenario is, unless the only thing I can say is if there's an elite quarterback and you're maybe, you know, between the number one and number two pick, I can only understand it in that scenario. But if we're going to have the number 10 pick in the draft or the number 13 pick in the draft, whatever, I don't care. Just give me a win in Pittsburgh. I'm sick of losing. And, you know, it just goes to show you Mike Tomlin has established a winning culture. Ben Roethlisberger, he's been playing in the league since freaking 2005, I think, or 2003. And, you know, 18 years of football, and the guy hasn't experienced a losing season in the NFL. Now, that is remarkable. Now, the huge question, the elephant in the room, is what the hell are the Browns going to do at quarterback? Baker was terrible last night. We already talked about the play calling. That was dreadful, awful, whatever you want to call it. The Browns looked so undisciplined last night. Honestly, I thought Jarvis Landry looked like he checked out. He looked like he was jogging a few routes. Austin Hooper dropping two or three passes, you know, false starts, throwing shoes, all this other crap. It was just bad. And I'm all for intensity. And, you know, if you're going to get a personal foul or something for playing tough, that's one thing. But stupidity is a whole nother thing. And, you know, after last night, I was wondering, will this be, and I'm sure this isn't just me, but will this be the last time we see Baker Mayfield play in a Cleveland Browns uniform? Now, they have picked up his fifth-year option for next year. I think it's $18 or $19 million, as he was the number one pick in the draft in 2018. But, you know, that's a very tradable contract and asset. Baker has decided he is going to get the surgery. He will not play this week, which he shouldn't have been playing this week in a meaningless game. And I said, again, I use the word meaningless in the sense of playoffs are not involved. Play Case Keenum. Get Baker Mayfield out of there. So I don't know. So let's look at some options in a minute. So we're going to start talking about the offense first. The offense needs a major, major makeover. The offensive line obviously was banged up, injured, COVID, all that crap this year was just, you know, it was just bad. So Jed Wills missed substantial time. You know, you had Treader miss a game with COVID. You had Teller miss some time with COVID. You have Jack Conklin missed, you know, over half the season. Jed Wills has not looked good when he's been in there, frankly. And, you know, obviously Jack Conklin's absence has been huge. He is a team leader. He's probably the best right tackle in all of the game. You're playing Blake Hance over there. You're playing James Hudson over there. And then, you know, not to to add to it, their do-it-all lineman, Chris Hubbard, has missed the entire season. He got hurt in that first game against the Chiefs after Jed Wills got hurt. So you are down three of your top linemen, three of your top six offensive linemen, frankly, for most of the year. So that's really, really been troubling. Teller, Betonio are going to be solid guards for the Browns for the next few years. They have that stability, but the outside stability was not there. Baker was sacked 9 times last night, and let's just give the defensive MVP player of the year award to TJ Watt right now. I mean, he's going to probably break Michael Strahan's record for most sacks in a year. I know he's really close to it already, but you know, just give it to him because he earned it. And just dominated the Browns last night. And I do expect, as much as the Browns love him, I do expect them to move on from J.C. Treader just based on contract. I think they think maybe like a Nick Harris, who they drafted a couple years ago out of Washington, could step in and be a good center. He has shown, especially in that Green Bay game, that he can step in and do the job. So we shall see what happens in the offseason with J.C. Treader. I think they would love to have him back, but at a reasonable price. Now, the running backs are great when healthy. Chubb, Hunt, and Johnson are fantastic. But again, injuries. COVID, all that stuff has hampered the Browns the whole season. Chubb missed 3 games this year. Kareem Hunt has only played in 7 games this year. Nick Chubb is averaging 5.5 yards a carry on the season. He has 1,200 yards rushing, 8 touchdowns on the ground, and he also has 19 receptions. Kareem Hunt, when he was in there, was doing a great job. 5 yards a carry, 386 yards, 5 touchdowns, and he had 22 receptions in his 7 games. So, you know, he was averaging 3 or 4 catches per game. And then D'Ernest Johnson, we all know how he stepped up in the Denver game. This year he's had, you know, carried it 75 times for 411 yards and 2 touchdowns. He's had a really, really nice season. They should all be back next year. I believe D'Ernest Johnson is a restricted free agent, which means the Browns can match anything. But if he gets a big offer, they might let him walk. So we'll see on that. Here's another big one. The wide receiver room needs fixed. This was coming into the season. You thought you would have an OBJ coming back from an ACL tear. He was, as we know, very unproductive in his 6 games. And again, we could get into a whole show of, is it Baker? Is it the scheme? Is it OBJ? What is it? I don't know. But he has shown he has been a pretty productive player since going to the Los Angeles Rams. Just scored the game-winning touchdown for them against Baltimore this past Sunday. Obviously, Jarvis Landry, pretty solid number 2. I actually think Jarvis Landry is a perfect number 3, perfect slot receiver. We all know he's the heart of the team. He did appear to check out in the Steelers game. First couple drives of the game, it just looked like he was jogging instead of running his routes. His numbers are obviously down. He's missed 5 games this year. First time he's missed time due to injury in his career. Last year, he missed 1 game due to COVID, but this time, first time since with injury, 46 catches, 495 yards, a touchdown, and 2 rushing touchdowns as a wide receiver. But Jarvis Landry is owed a lot of money if the Browns bring him back next year, but they can cut him with really no penalty. So if he is willing to come back at a cheaper salary, I think the Browns would love to have him back, but I have a feeling he will be moved on from, as much as we love him and he's the heart of the team. DPJ, Donovan Peoples-Jones, has missed 4 games this year with groin injury. He's had 2 catches or fewer in 7 of his 12 games. That is not a highly productive wide receiver. We need him to step up. He's one of the most explosive wide receivers we have. He does have 31 catches for 559 yards and 3 touchdowns this season. But frankly, we need more production out of him. Rashard Higgins is a mystery to me because, you know, there were times last year where he looked like the best receiver on the field, but he is just a mystery. He was a healthy scratch when we needed receivers. The game at Baltimore, this year, 12 catches, or I'm sorry, in 12 games, 24 catches, 275 yards, and 1 touchdown. So not a whole lot of production out of him. And Anthony Schwartz, 12 games. Now, this is a guy that they drafted in the 3rd round out of Auburn, Blazer. They're super speedy. But, you know, he's missed a ton of time. He missed almost the whole training camp with an injury. He had a concussion, which cost him a few games. He has played in 12 games. In 8 of those games, he has 0 or only 1 catch. And on the season, only 9 catches for 122 yards and 1 touchdown. So the wide receiver room, I think there's potential with Anthony Schwartz. I think Donovan Peoples-Jones has a nice future with the Browns, but those are the only 2 I expect to be back in the wide receiver room next year. The tight end room, let's quickly look at this. Austin Hooper, I was yelling at my TV last night because he has been a major disappointment. He's getting paid as if he's a Travis Kelce or, Mark Andrews, a top tight end in the league. But this year he has 38 catches for 345 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's not even the best tight end on our team. David Njoku, who we thought we might lose last year, is a guy that I think, frankly, you need to sign in this offseason to get him back. He should be the Browns' number one free agent target on their own team, at least, in my opinion, going into next season. He has shown major flashes of excellence, but you know, he's a guy, though, too, that sometimes, like Rashard Higgins, will just go missing for a couple games. He has 34 catches, 464 yards, and 4 touchdowns on the season. And he is a major red zone target, but he has explosive capabilities. And I would love to see him stick around with the Browns going forward. And I'm not sure what they're going to do with Hooper. You know, I think there's a lot of dead money if they do cut him, but we'll see. Harrison Bryant is a really solid tight end. He's a nice rotational number two or number three tight end. 20 catches, 224 yards, 3 touchdowns on the season. But I think he has some nice potential moving forward for the Browns. So let me go into, and we're going to get more into this in the offseason, but I want to just do a quick dive into an offensive wish list. Who is your quarterback in 2022? That has to be the first question. Is it Baker Mayfield? If it is, he's got to get the surgery. He's got to get healthy. He's got to get ready, and you got to give him some more weapons at the wide receiver position. If he is not, let's take a look at some of the quarterbacks in the NFL. And I'm not putting Ben Roethlisberger on this list. He's obviously going to retire, and there's no way he'd play with the Browns. Aaron Rodgers, obviously disgruntled in Green Bay. I think that's a very far-fetched option for him to come to the Browns. Tom Brady's not coming here. Patrick Mahomes not coming here. Josh Allen not coming here. By the way, Josh Allen taken 7th in that same draft as Baker Mayfield. Joe Burrow, looks like an absolute stud down in Cincinnati, not coming here. Justin Herbert, no. Matt Stafford, no. Dak Prescott, no. Kyler Murray, no. Russell Wilson, that is a pipe dream I think a lot of Browns fans have. I don't see it, but I'm not going to say it's a 0% chance. I would put it as a very small chance, but I would love to see Russell Wilson behind our offensive line, a healthy offensive line with our running game, and then you get him another weapon or two at wide receiver. I think this offense could really take off. I'm going to say the same thing with Derek Carr. Derek Carr is the Las Vegas Raiders quarterback, obviously led a game-winning drive against the Browns, has kept them in playoff positioning, and they've been through a lot of adversity this year, losing Gruden, losing Ruggs. You know, just a lot of adversity there in Vegas. But Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, two potential targets for the Browns. Lamar Jackson, obviously not leaving anywhere in Baltimore, but they still have not signed him to a long-term contract. Carson Wentz in Indy, Ryan Tannehill, nope, to a possibility, but they seem to like him now in Miami. Kirk Cousins is another possibility. Doesn't get me excited. He's basically he's one of those guys that puts up some good numbers, but just really doesn't get the job done in crucial times. But I guess you could say he could be an upgrade. Mac Jones, you know, New England's doing a nice job with him. Matt Ryan is another intriguing possibility. So we will see what happens with him in Atlanta. Jalen Hurts is a young guy. Jimmy Garoppolo, another possibility in San Francisco. They drafted a young quarterback out of North Dakota State this past year, Trey Lance. So we'll see what happens with him. Then you got a bunch of young guys, Justin Fields with the Bears, Zach Wilson with the Jets, Trevor Lawrence with the Jags, Jared Goff's in Detroit, his contract's untouchable. Tyler Huntley is very intriguing, the backup for the Ravens. He has looked very good this year. That's someone to keep an eye on for, if not the Browns, another team. Taylor Heinicke, not sure his status. Davis Mills, a young guy with Houston. Taysom Hill, no, we don't want Taysom Hill. Teddy Bridgewater would be a nice backup, but I don't think he's a starting quarterback. No to Daniel Jones for me. No to Sam Darnold for me. Marcus Mariota is another intriguing guy. Former Heisman Trophy winner, former top pick, just didn't pan out in Tennessee, is the backup to Derek Carr in Vegas. And then at the bottom, I put the incoming quarterbacks for the NFL draft, some of the top guys that I do not think the Browns should take a quarterback in the first round. I'm making that very clear. However, if any of these guys slip into the second or even third round, then I would maybe take a flyer on one of these guys. Kenny Pickett's going to go in the first round, so I'm going to say we're out on him. Desmond Ridder, Matt Corral, Malik Willis out of Liberty, Carson Strong out of Nevada, or Sam Howell out of North Carolina. I think if one of those guys dropped to the third round, that is a very, very intriguing possibility for the Browns to maybe get a developmental backup quarterback that could potentially have some talent to make a push for a starting job. But again, I don't know. I really don't know. That's why Andrew Berry is smarter and gets paid a lot more money than I do. So I'm very interested to see what you guys think about what the Browns should do at the quarterback position. Number two on my offensive wish list, draft a top wide receiver. Now, I don't think the Browns are going to get any top level free agent wide receiver to come here, especially after Stephon Diggs did not have a great time with Stefanski in Minnesota and OBJ this past year. I think you bring in a young wide receiver. You develop him into the Cleveland Browns offense. You mold him into your number one receiver that might not get 8 or 9 catches a game, might get 4 or 5 or maybe 6 catches a game, but will be productive. And you can develop him, bring him along, and maybe even mold your offense around him. So these are some of the 2022 draft prospects. We all know Jameson Williams out of Alabama, the former Buckeye. Drake London is a very intriguing prospect out of USC. Big wide receiver, fast. I think he was injured, so he could drop because of that. But he is a very intriguing guy. Garrett Wilson would be my number one target if I were, you know, maybe that's a homer statement. But him and Chris Olave would be great. But to me, Garrett Wilson is sort of that Swiss Army knife. He can go over the middle. He can play in the slot. He can play outside. He can go up and get a catch. He can take a shot over the middle. He is the perfect wide receiver, in my opinion. Chris Olave is a great route runner, a nice deep threat. I think he would be an awesome fit for the Browns as well. You know, so any of those top four guys, especially, I would be happy with. I think Jameson Williams is probably going to be a top 10 guy. But London, Wilson, or Olave would be awesome if the Browns could pick them up. Treylon Burks is intriguing out of Arkansas. John Metchie III just suffered an ACL injury, but he is a nice receiver for Alabama. Jahan Dotson would be a great, great pickup in the second or third round. I think he is a legit dude out of Penn State. And then another Big Ten receiver, I think that could, you know, maybe be a second or third round guy would be David Bell. That intrigues me a lot. Also, bring in a veteran wide receiver. So you want to, you know, bring in a veteran guy that can, you know, hopefully be a good role model. Now, if you keep Jarvis Landry, I say just don't worry about this, because then you got Jarvis Landry can be your guy. But if not, let's look at some of the veteran wide receiver possibilities. Allen Robinson, I would say don't even think about. He's probably going to get franchised. Or Davante Adams is a no. He's the best wide receiver in the league. Chris Godwin was injured this year, but an intriguing prospect. Will Fuller would be a very interesting prospect for the Browns, a deep ball threat. You know, was great with Deshaun Watson down in Houston. And Deshaun Watson was somebody I didn't even put on that quarterback list. That's obviously a huge, intriguing possibility. Jameson Crowder, T.Y. Hilton, Juju Smith-Schuster, Mike Williams, Zay Jones, DJ Shark, Christian Kirk, Michael Gallup just tore his ACL, but could be healthy by then. Alan Lazard, Zach Pascal, or Marquez Valdez Scantling. A lot of Green Bay receivers on that list, but bringing in a veteran receiver if Jarvis is not back, I think, is a priority. And then a kicking specialist. We need a reliable kicker. We haven't had one since Phil Dawson. And then we know what happened with Jamie Gillen. And then, you know, our punting situation isn't great. Let's just say it like that right now. So it is what it is, but those are some of my wish lists for the offseason. We will obviously get more in depth and break that down more going into the offseason. So real quick, what will the offense look like in 2022? I don't know. Jed Wills will be back. Betonio will be back. Wyatt Teller will be back, and Jack Conklin will be back. So you got four of your five pillars. Now, will they move on from JC Treader, or will they move to Nick Harris? I don't know. We'll see. I think they would probably like a cheaper option because they've spent a lot of money on that offensive line. But you need cohesion in that line, and the center is a very, very valuable aspect to that part. Running backs. I think you're going to get them all back unless D'Ernest Johnson, you can get something for him in a trade, or maybe he gets offered a big contract as a restricted free agent. We shall see. Austin Hooper. I would love to move on from Austin Hooper's contract, but there's a lot of dead cap money there. Njoku, I think it's a priority. You bring him back. Harrison Bryant will be back. We have no idea what the hell the quarterback position is going to look like next year, which is unfortunate because we thought we were out of that boat for a few years and now seem to be back in it. And wide receivers, the only ones I can say for sure I think will be back on the team next year, DPJ, Anthony Schwartz, and then Demetrius Felton, who's kind of, again, like a Swiss Army knife kind of guy, slot receiver, scat back type thing. I expect the Browns to move on from J.C. Treader for financial reasons, Jarvis Landry for financial reasons, Rashard Higgins for production, whatever else is going on with him. Case Keenum, I don't expect to be back. Baker Mayfield's the biggest mystery to me, so I don't know. I would love to hear what you guys think. Let me know what you think. AFC playoff picture real quick. Bengals, Ravens, Steelers, all still alive. Titans and Colts alive, Patriots and Bills still alive, and then three of the four teams in the AFC West still alive. So only six teams eliminated, including the Browns. So right now you got Tennessee at your one seed, Kansas City, who lost at Cincinnati, is your two seed at 11, both at 11-5. Cincinnati 10-6, Buffalo 10-6, New England at 10-6. Then you got the Colts at 9-7, and then you have a win and in game between the LA Chargers and Las Vegas Raiders this coming weekend. That should be a really good one. I believe that's the Sunday night football game, so stay tuned for that. See how this all unfolds, but should be a fun ride, even though the Browns are out of it. And then quick look at the NFC playoff picture. Right now, Green Bay holds the number one seed. Your division leaders right now are the Rams, Cowboys, and Buccaneers. So those would be your top four seeds. Both of the bird teams have locked in wild card spots in the Cardinals and the Eagles. And then you have sort of a win and in situation for the 49ers. They will play the Los Angeles Rams. If they win, again, they are in. If they lose and New Orleans beats Atlanta, the Saints will go to the playoffs. So intriguing matchups this weekend. A lot to play for a lot of teams. Unfortunately, the Browns will not be one of those teams, but they will finish off with the Bengals at home at First Energy. So with that, we'll check back in with you later in the week. But this is Justin for the 330 Sports Show. We're powered by Youngstown Studio, and we appreciate you listening.